God bless you, and thank you for joining us for this episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland, and we're so delighted that you could join us today. We pray that you would open your hearts and ask God for a listening ear as we go into the Word of God for this week's episode. May God bless you as you listen. Let's open with the word of prayer. Father, how we thank you for the opportunity to gather together to hear the word of God. We pray, Father God, that you would help us as we study this subject matter, Lord. Help us with an unction from the Holy One. Help us with an utterance that only you can give. Thank you, precious Lord, as we dive into the scriptures, Lord, you will give us understanding and clarity concerning this subject. And you will impress strongly upon our hearts the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for this present truth, that what we're coming into, Lord, is a truth that we can apply in our present situations to receive the victory that is promised us in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We thank God for those of you that are joining us again on another episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's open our Bibles again to 1 John chapter 3. We want to go back and kind of piggyback off of the verse that we began. I'm sure that those of you who are listening have some notes or some controversy or something regarding that. We're dealing with this as a topic because so many today that say they're born again don't understand what God actually did in the life and in the heart of his children to extract that which separates us from God. What separates us from God is not attitude, it's not money, it's not resources, it's sin. And in Isaiah 59, I believe it's the first and the second verse, it says that our sins actually separate us from God. So the issue that we're discussing as it relates to being born of God is that God releases power to overcome sin and live a righteous life. And I want to emphasize that primarily because many are of the persuasion that because we live in the flesh, because we live in a sinful body, that we will always be sinful in nature. That is erroneous, my brother. There's too much in Scripture that points to God's nature, and his nature is not sinful. God hates sin, and any person that practices sin and claims to know Jesus needs to reconsider. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, the Bible says. That's found in 1 John, the first chapter. So before we go to John chapter 3 to get into more trouble, let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and hear what John says concerning light and this fellowship that he was bringing these believers into. This is the message, verse 5, which we have heard of him and declare unto you. What's the message? That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if there's no darkness in God and sin in any life is a measure of darkness that has to be evacuated, but usually is tied to a nature, so it's not easy to get rid of. It's important to know that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, according to verse 3. Verse 5 brings out that what interrupts the fellowship with light is darkness, because there's no darkness at all in God. Verse 6 is clear as well. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What we want to point out here is that what God intended for all of his children is to walk in light, to walk in righteousness, and not practice, as we were looking at that verse, habitual sinning, deliberate sinning. Brothers and sisters, there are things that we encounter in life. Life is life. Things happen in life. But as it relates to what violates the word of God, as it relates to that which undermines our relationship with Jesus, it's not a lack of finance. It's not an issue with my spouse or with my children. It's sin. It's sin. Sin separates. So here, God is outlining the life of those that walk in light. If we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's important to see, brothers and sisters, that there's two clear distinctions as it relates to sin being dealt with in the life and in the heart of a child of God. First, confessing it. And that means not just announcing and saying what it is, but agreeing with God that that's what it is. So you need to confess it. Lord, forgive me of my lust. Forgive me of my arrogance. Forgive me of my pride, Lord. Whatever it is, you have to confess that to God in order to be forgiven. He says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and God is just to forgive us. So he will. It's based on the faithfulness of God and God being just, the just and the justifier of all those who are righteous. He says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God's intent is to identify that which in our life that's blocking our relationship. As we confess it to him, he can cleanse it. God can wash it so that it doesn't plague the life of his children. So it's important to know this, brothers and sisters, so that you don't get stuck in a rut and feel like, you know, this is the way God made me and, you know, God just created me this way. I got flaws. We all got flaws. We all got issues. We all got our problems. We do. We do. And they're natural problems that we were born with. You're right. Somebody might say, come on, Pastor Mark, we're only human. You're right. But the human nature is an enemy of God, and it must be evacuated. So now let's go back to our verse, because I can see how this instruction is going to lead us to deal with some things concerning the flesh, which is fine. We plan to get into that anyway. But if you go back to the third chapter of 1 John, we were emphasizing what God was saying out of verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, we have two critical things to consider as we look at the clear line of demarcation between God's children and those that aren't. Let's just call them the saints and the ain'ts. Okay, the children of God are manifest, clearly seen, and so are the children of the devil. I wonder how many of us, brothers and sisters, can actually see these lives and identify that's of God, that's not of God. That's of the Lord, that's not of the Lord. That's light and that's darkness. I wonder how many of us can actually identify what's light and what's darkness. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. If we go back to the Amplified Classic, this is where this was being brought out so clearly. And brothers and sisters, listen, let's receive the word of God. I know you already got your issues that you're going to write me about, whatever. Let's talk. But I don't get into it and I don't clash with those that have their own understanding. You know, you got your understanding. What God has revealed to us is what we're sharing. And plus, we're sharing this with our congregation. If you go to another church, go and believe whatever it is you're hearing from your pastor. But what we share here is out of the word of God, and we have to receive God's word whether we like it or not. It's not a like it, don't like it situation. This is the pattern for the Christian life. Now, in the Amplified Classic, he says, "No one born or begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin." Why? Why can't they? For God's nature, this is the Amplified Classic. The King James says God's seed. Notice what the Amplified refers to as the seed of God, his nature. For God's nature abides in him. Now, here's two clear manifestations of this nature. One, his principle of life. Two, the divine sperm. It remains permanently in him. So when we receive Christ, which we need to understand, brothers and sisters, we're receiving a principle of how life is lived. That's why Jesus said, "I am life. No man can come to the Father but by me. I'm the way of that life. I'm the truth of that life. I am the life." This is what Jesus is saying. He says, his principle of life, the divine sperm, what does it do? It remains permanently within him. Now, brothers and sisters, this is based on you receiving the word of God. The word of God convicts the heart, and you respond to that conviction in repentance. This is how sin is dealt with in the human heart. You don't keep sinning and you know, stay in unrighteousness. No, you get that out of your life, my brother, my sister, whatever it is. Whatever you're playing around with, stop it today. Repent of it and walk away knowing that Jesus Christ took that sin and nailed it to the cross. Brothers and sisters, it's our sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. Why are we sinning? He took our sin in exchange for his righteousness. Have you ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Let me read this to you. I'm coming back to my verse here, but 2 Corinthians 5 will bring out an interesting point. 2 Corinthians 5, there was an exchange at the cross. And this is what happened. This is verse 21. I'm going to read this in the Good News translation. I love the Good News Bible. Also, I have this new Passion translation. The Good News says, "Christ was without sin, but for our sake, God made him share our sin in order that in union with him, we might share the righteousness of God." Now, the King James Version, we know is clear, says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Why? That we might be the righteousness of God in him. Now, in the other translation I want to bring out, the Living Bible. This is what I want to bring out in the Living Bible. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 21 in the Living Bible says this: "For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us." Do you see that, brothers and sisters? There's an exchange. The life of sin does not continue. No, no. God's righteousness interrupted it. God's righteousness takes over now, and there's a mind to just do what's right. Now, if you struggle with that mentality, that's a struggle. Because if your mind is sinful, then guess what you're going to do? Sin. You got to get it out of your mind. You have to allow Christ to free you from that bondage. My brother, have you ever gotten to a place in your walk where you don't sin no more? It's broken. Whatever it is, you can say whatever it is. Now people, they announce what it is, and then they count the days, and I'm 3 months, 5 years, and 253 days free from whatever. You don't have to count, just be free. That's all you have to do. In whom the Son is set free, he's free indeed. He's free for real. You don't have to go back to it. That's the devil's lie. You need this. You got to go back to this. You got to do. No, you don't. The power to say no, the power to overcome is resident within when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. When you laid down your life, when you repented of your sin, the Holy Spirit came in to take residence within you. And now, what is his responsibility? To evacuate the rest of Adam that's plaguing your life. Adam comes with a way of living. Adam comes with a mindset. Adam comes with crazy stuff that God hates. That's why when he sinned, he was put out of the garden. And he had to, you know, that's when his work and his job began. God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. My brother, is that describe your life? If it's nothing but sin all the time, you're a sinner. Wait, Pastor Mark, we're all sinners saved by grace. It's true. But have you been delivered is the question. Yes, we are by nature when we're born. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But is that where we leave it? Now we just sin and, you know, like Paul says in Romans, do we just continue in grace? Do we just continue sinning so that grace can abound? No, no. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Maybe that's the issue, my brother. Have you died to that sin that you struggle with? If that sin is still alive, then this verse, as it relates to God's nature, you can't live it out. You won't get victory. You'll struggle. And you'll begin to think, maybe this is how I'm supposed to live my life. Everybody has problems. Everybody has struggles. Mine is whatever. My brother, you can believe that if you want, but it is possible to believe the wrong thing. And if Jesus Christ can't free us from sin, then he's not God, he's not powerful, he's not all, he's not anything that he says he can. If he can't deliver us from the power of sin, and the Bible says he has, maybe we haven't appropriated what he did for us on the cross. We read here, he took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then have you exchanged your sin for God's righteousness? You're not supposed to be struggling with that. God never intended that sin you stumbled into and never got free from to run your life. My brother, my sister, why lose your marriage over a secret sin? Why? Why lose your children over something? Because you can't forgive. You can't get over stuff. Is sin in the human heart. And you're going to be trying to go to church and lift your hands and worship and hear God? No, no. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What, you don't think that applies to Christian? It applies to whoever has sin in their life. Those who are saying they're Christian are not, because they sin all the time. You're not saved, bro. You don't know God. You may have been introduced, but you don't know him if you continually sin every single day. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. That's in Hebrews chapter 10. He's telling them, don't, you know, the manner of some is they disassociate. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, then there's no sacrifice for what I'm doing. My brother, my sister, the seed of God has the power to keep you from sinning. I'm sorry you're just now discovering this, and you've probably been saved for years, as I was. I wrestled with this. I said, there's no way this can be true. We live in flesh. We got issues. We got situations. And you're right, we do. But until that life has been evacuated, i.e. died, your struggle, my brother, your struggle, my sister, continues. Have you ever got to a place in your walk with God where you said, that's it with sin? Probably not, because you probably don't think it's a reality. So you wouldn't think to get free from it. But I want to challenge you today in the name of Jesus that that false doctrine that you got, and where'd you get it from? You got it from those who you fellowship with who said we can't do nothing about our nature. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's not true. Now, let me show you this, brothers and sisters. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. I want to point out something here that points to this seed or this principle of life. This is the area that we want to look at today. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Paul says something very, very powerful, starting at the 14th verse on down to the end. Verse 14 in the New King James Version. Paul says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." Doesn't matter. But what avails? But a new creation. "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Do you see this, brothers and sisters? Let me read this in our typical Amplified Classic. This is one of the translations that we study with. So much is brought out. In the Amplified Classic, he says, "Be it far from me to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Verse 15, don't miss this. "For neither is circumcision now of any importance, nor uncircumcision." So it's not your denomination. It's not what you think or what you believe or even what your denomination is saying, that if you ain't baptized in Jesus' name, you didn't come up speaking in tongues, you're not saved. Lie. It's a lie. It's false teaching. Circumcision nor uncircumcision doesn't avail anything. It's religion. But only a new creation. Listen, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. So brothers and sisters, when you came into Christ, you not only came by way of a new birth, but what came with that new birth, if it actually happened, was a new nature. This is what we don't teach. We just say, hey man, you know, if you got struggles, then you know, we all got struggles. No, you have the nature of God. The nature of God doesn't sin. The nature of God doesn't lie. The nature of God don't take advantage of people. The nature of God don't lead harshly as a tyrant ruler. Those of you that are in charge or pastoring or whatever, how we rule. How God gives us oracles for us to rule, and we rule as tyrants. We treat people like bread. We're hungry all the time. All we want to do is eat and get paid for what we do, like we have a right. No, my brother, that is erroneous. And I want to pray right now in Jesus' name that God deliver you from that foul religious spirit. You've been mistaught. Listen, God gives us a new nature along with the new birth. So if you've been truly born again, you have a new nature. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't understand what that is. But now he says, but only a new creation, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, nature is something that you're born with. It's not something that you can instantly change or get rid of. We see this as a principle in Genesis. The Genesis principle is that everything produces after its kind. And listen, that word kind points to nature. Nature is understood as essence, native condition or birth, native species or kind, native instinct, that's nature. Nature is a creative and controlling force in the universe. It's an inner force as well. The nature of something is a fixed reality at its inception. You can't do nothing about it. How many of you have been trying to change your nature? You got a motivational speaker, you got a life coach, and you're still just as hateful and sinful as I don't know what, because they can't change your nature. Only the Word of God can. He said the seed of God remains in him and he cannot sin. Why? His nature is of God. He has God's nature. Can I just stop here long enough to ask my brother, my sister, those of you that are listening, do you have the nature of God? Or are you just religious? You know, the religious life can never produce this nature that we're talking about, because you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other, or you'll cling to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is tied to religion, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why you deceived. You think that because we live in a physical body, we can't help but sin. That's a lie. If you have the nature of God, you cannot sin. For his seed permanently resides in you. He cannot, that verse says in 1 John 3, verse 9. So everything, according to the Genesis principle, produces after its kind. If you carry the life of God, then you'll produce that out of your life. That's what's expected of you. That's why when you go to John's Gospel chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even them that believe on his name. How? It's not of a normal birth. It's not of a natural birth, but they're born of God. I think that's the issue. So many that are calling themselves Christians have never been born of God. There'll be a church on Sunday. They even think they can worship. But a person with a dead spirit cannot communicate with God. You're not a believer because your spirit is still dead. You're a dead person walking. If your spirit hasn't been quickened or made alive, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins kills the activity of the spirit, breaking that relationship down with God so that God has to withdraw completely from that soul. My brother, my sister, let's not wrestle with the scriptures to our own destruction. Is there sin in your life? You got to get it out. I'm sorry, bro. You got to get rid of that. I don't care how fine she is. I don't care how good he looks. I don't care how well he can preach. It's sin. You got to stop that. You got to get that out of your life with an urgency to get rid of it. It's not the life of God. You're being deceived. And you know what? Self-deception is the worst kind. Pastor Mark, what do? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and lay down your life. Say, God, I'm struggling with this. I'm laying it down. I'm not trying to fix me. I'm not trying to get me right. I'm coming to the cross to experience death. There at the cross is where I died. And there at the cross is where that exchange has been made. My brother, have you ever come to the cross, or did you just start coming to church? Did you just come to a pastor, give the preacher your hand and God your heart? That's a personality cult. You following a man. And that's not what God intended. We follow the word of God. And when that man stops preaching the word of God, it's time for me to go. That's all to it. I don't care if you call in the kingdom life. When Pastor Mark stopped preaching the word of God and start preaching politics and all this other stuff, leave quickly. Because we've shifted in our focus, as so many has and don't know. Father, we pray today that you will help us. Too many of us are confused. Even in scripture, we think we know certain things, but we haven't received the whole counsel of God. Many have gone to school, Lord, and have come out and still don't know that sin is a reproach, that we must be delivered. We must die to that sinful nature. Only then can Christ's life come forth. The resurrection life, Father, that you died to give us, can only be released through a death of that old man, that Adamic serpent nature. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, open our eyes that we might see. The devil is beguiling us because some of us have grown accustomed to our sin. And some of us, Lord, actually like it now. We're looking for ways to keep it, to appease ourselves, because we love it. And Lord, it's hard to get free from something that I have a love for. I'm praying, Father God, that you will help us in mercy, that you will help us be free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you for helping us today, Lord, as we look at these verses and go back and pray more about this. You'll give us clarity and understanding. Thank you for helping us today. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode, but we'll be back to share more on this topic of being born of God. I have a sense that this is where the Lord would have us to stay. It's not to create controversy or anything. It's just to bring a present truth in light of Scripture that God's intent is that you, my brother, my sister, that carry Christ within us, stop sinning, that you can live above unrighteousness, and that the very life of Christ and nature of God, you carry it. You're supposed to live righteously because of who you carry. Your nature is equal to the life that you carry. A sinful life is tied to a sinful nature. It has to be evacuated. And you can't go directly to the resurrection and avoid death on the cross. So thank you, Lord, for helping us today. We'll be back with more understanding in this, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you on the next episode. Until next time, this is Pastor Mark Copeland signing off in this present truth. God bless. God bless you, and thank you all so much for listening. We have run out of time of this week's episode, but join us again next week for another episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. We're signing off. We'll see you next week. May God's riches be yours.